Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study and happy Pentecost, everybody. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Do you know what Pentecost is? Well, follow this. Jesus rose from the dead, and then for 40 days on and off, he appeared to the disciples. At the end of 40 days, he takes them on top of a mountain, and he says, "Disciples, go into the city of Jerusalem and wait until you're clothed with power from on high." Jesus then ascends and goes back into heaven. That's called the Ascension. 10 days after the Ascension, the disciples are in a house in Jerusalem, and this loud roaring like tornado wind noise comes. The Holy Spirit comes into the house. Every disciple gets filled with the Holy Spirit. They get tongues of fire on top of their heads. They go out into the streets. Just so happens, Jews from all over the world are in Jerusalem that day for a festival. All of a sudden, Peter can speak, we'll say, Greek, which he didn't know how to speak. And Andrew is speaking, we'll say, Ethiopian. And the disciples can speak different languages. They're speaking to these different Jews who have different languages about the Christ. 3,000 people get baptized that day. That's called the birthday of the Christian church, Pentecost. That's what we celebrate today. On this Pentecost Sunday, the question we ask is, how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? Some churches teach that you have to speak in tongues. That's the proof you've got the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe in speaking in tongues. It's biblical. But do you know that there's never a verse that said Jesus spoke in tongues? Other churches teach, well, as long as you're baptized, after that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe in baptism. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, be baptized and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I believe in that. But do you know that Hitler was baptized? Mussolini was baptized? Stalin was baptized? So they leaked. So the question we have today is, how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? What we're going to do is look and see what Jesus did. Five things that he did, which were evidence that he indeed was filled with the Spirit. Take out your Bible, please. Turn to Luke chapter 4, and let's begin with prayer. Father, we pray for people watching this program. Maybe they don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would come upon everyone watching this program in this half hour. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 4, let me set this up. Jesus is 30 years old. He's just been baptized. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And now he's going to start his 3 years of ministry before he dies. And let's see what happens. Here we go. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 16. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. First lesson I want you to get, notice the word "as was his custom." Jesus worshiped regularly. Every week he went to the synagogue. Not Christmas and Easter. He was in the synagogue every week. Now my question for you is, are you in church every week? If Jesus felt he needed it, you better believe we need it. And again, when people say, well, I can be a Christian without going to church, the Bible never says you have to go to church. Yes, it does. Hebrews chapter 10, do not forsake the assembly. So make sure you're in a good church. Find a good church and go regularly. You know, I preach a lot of funerals. Some people only walk into a church for a funeral. And so I always preach at a funeral. Your eternal soul is worth you being in church once a week. Many years ago, there was a church in Norway. The woman and her children, she went to church every Sunday. Her husband never went to church. So one day, the pastor comes over. Well, Mr. So-and-so, don't you think you should worship God with your wife and children? Well, he never showed up. He tried again, never showed up. Well, the man dies. Finally, he showed up in church for his funeral. And the man's body is lying there in the casket. And the story goes that during the service, the pastor came down and stood over the corpse and said, Versint. Too late in Norwegian. Too late for you to come to church now. First lesson is, make sure you're going to a good church. And let's look at verse 17. Jesus opened the book of the prophet Isaiah, Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, was handed to Jesus. Jesus opened the book and found the place where it is written, and then he preaches from Isaiah. Here's the next lesson. Go to a church that preaches or follows the Bible. You know, my first point was go to church. Second important point, but go to a church that follows the Bible. Don't go to the Unitarian Church where they preach poetry. I'm a Protestant. Don't go to a Protestant church or a Catholic church where the priest or pastor preaches his own opinions, but he doesn't preach the Word of God. I'll give you an example. The Baptists are normally pretty good about following the Scripture on the moral issues of our day. But there is a branch of Baptists called American Baptists. They can be as wacko liberal as the ELCA Lutherans or the Episcopalians or the PCUSA Presbyterians. So be careful when you... All right, so this very liberal Baptist pastor and I are invited to come on TV to kind of do a debate on gay weddings. He's all for them. He performs gay weddings. Finally on TV I said, it doesn't help that in the church today we have pastors violating Scripture by marrying same-sex couples. He responded, I'm offended, Pastor Brock. I believe in the Bible just as much as you do. And I tried to politely say, no, you don't. And then I went to his website. They have, I counted them, a picture of 18 gay lesbian flags flying in their sanctuary. So everybody, number one, go to a good church, but make sure you're going to a biblical church. Let's look at verse 18. So now Jesus is reading from the Old Testament, Isaiah. Quote, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, let's stop there. How do you know if the Spirit of the Lord is upon you? Well, five things happen. Next verse, next part of verse 18. Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The first evidence, there's going to be five now. The first evidence you have the Holy Spirit is you proclaim the gospel to others. Do you ever do that? Do you ever talk to people about Jesus? Jesus said before he ascended, disciples, go into the city, you will become witnesses of me when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, you witness. Now, I can remember when I was 16 years old at a party, and this teenage girl comes up, Tom, I hear you're a Christian. And I've been reading a book called The Late Great Planet Earth about the end of time and Christ's return, and I want to become a Christian. How do I become a Christian? And my exact response was, it was terrible. Well, now I know. Now I know how to witness. Do you ever witness? Last week, I needed to use a Uber taxi. And when I call for Uber, I normally get a Muslim from Somalia. So he's driving me, and he's telling me that he walks into a mosque five times a day and prays in a mosque five times a day. And then he told me he has the entire Quran memorized. And I always bring these with me. I happen to have one of these pamphlets, and I said to him, can I give you this to read? I'm on TV. We have a TV show, I told him. But I said, you know, I want to give you this. And this is a pamphlet that says, you need Jesus to be saved. Do you ever witness? I was eating my sandwich at Arby's, and this teenage boy's wiping the tables, and he comes up to me. You know, I believe in God. I'm not sure which God I believe in, but I believe in God. And I said, can I tell you the God to believe in? There's only one. Follow the God of Jesus Christ. Get into a good church, read a Bible, etc. But do you witness? That's the first evidence of the Holy Spirit. Next evidence of the Holy Spirit, verse 18, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. So you witness. Secondly, you're concerned about release for the captives. Do you ever pray about Christians who are being persecuted overseas? When you read about jihadists beheading Christians in Pakistan, do you ever pray? Do you have a concern about that? Lord, release the captives. Please help the persecuted Christian. That's another evidence, I think. Another evidence of the Holy Spirit is verse 18 again. He has sent me to give recovery of sight to the blind. The next sign I think you have the Holy Spirit, you care about blindness being healed. You want to see blindness being healed. We live in a blind age. So I saw the news clip. France is the first nation in the world to enshrine abortion into their national constitution. And to see these legislators jumping up and down for joy, rejoicing because they got abortion through, just made me want to weep. Ohio, they passed some referendum. Ohio now has a shrine. And to see these people jumping up and down, screaming with joy, because we are now able to kill unborn children while we live in a dark age. Do you ever grieve over the blindness? I mean, when you see that your brother-in-law is getting into tarot cards and crystals and the New Age movement and psychics or whatever, I think one sign you have the Holy Spirit is you want to see blindness healed. Next evidence is verse 18 again. Recovery of sight to the blind to set free those who are downtrodden. Another sign you have the Holy Spirit, you care about the downtrodden. I thought of this very sweet Christian woman that I knew. She's in heaven now. But she had all kinds of health problems, couldn't get out of the house much. But she was on the phone for hour after hour with the downtrodden, ministering to the downtrodden on the phone. Another evidence of the Holy Spirit is verse 19, to proclaim the favor of the Lord. Last sign is you proclaim God's favor to others. When I was 26 years old, I was newly ordained. I go to my first church in Florida. I go into this Christian bookstore and I bought a book, and the lady at the counter, oh, who are you? And I talked to her for a while and she said, oh, Tom, God must love you so much. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, he brought you to Christ. You know, you were raised in a church in Omaha, and then you went to Minnesota for 3 years and you went to seminary. Now he's brought you all the way down here to Florida so you can preach the gospel to others. God loves you so much, Tom. And I thought, well, thank you. I hadn't thought of that. But, you know, she proclaimed God's favor to me. And people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they tend to do that. All right, so let's review. How do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, do you ever talk to people about Jesus? Number two, are you concerned about release to the captives? Number three, do you care about the blindness of our culture? Number four, do you want to see the oppressed, the downtrodden set free? And last sign is, do you proclaim God's favor, his blessing to others? Now let's look at verse 21. Verse 20. And Jesus closed the book, Isaiah, and gave it back to the attendant in the synagogue, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture, Isaiah, has been fulfilled in your hearing. Here's the main point of this whole story. Jesus is the Christ. He's the fulfillment. The word Christ is not Jesus' last name. Jesus Christ is it's not a last name, it's a title. When you say Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus is the Christ. The word Christ literally means anointed one. He's the one the Old Testament promised would come and be anointed to save God's people. Well, they start thinking favorably of Christ, verse 22. And he began to say to them, this verse has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words that were falling from his lips. And then they start changing their mind. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Don't we know this person? And then verse 23, and he said to them, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. And he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. Here's the next lesson. No prophet is accepted in his hometown. Some of you live with this every day. Quite a while ago, I was sitting in the church office and knock on the door and open the door, and here's a woman I didn't know, and she said, Pastor Brock, you don't know me, but when I was a teenager 30 years ago, I got confirmed in this church. And then I wandered, premarital sex, abortion, etc. And today, I just wanted to come back to the church where I was confirmed and rededicate my life to Christ. Can we do that? I said, we sure can. And she and I went into the sanctuary. We knelt at the altar where she was confirmed 30 years earlier. She confessed her sins. I put my hand on her head, and I announced to you that through the blood of Christ and by what he has done for you on the cross, your sins are forgiven. And it was just a wonderful time. And she's about to leave, and then she said, my family fought me to come here. They did not want me coming back to the church. And she had a family of unbelievers. And a prophet is not accepted in his own town, in his own family. One last point. Now, the crowd gets so mad at Jesus after this, they take him to the cliff to throw him over the cliff. Look at verse 30. But passing through their midst, Jesus went his way. Here's the last lesson. You won't die until God wants you to die. God saved Jesus from the crowd because his time wasn't up. And I believe that's true for every Christian. You will not die until God wants you to die. So something I pray for sometimes, and I encourage you to do it too. Have you ever prayed this? God, be glorified in my death. Not just in my life, the way I live, but also when it comes for me to die, somehow be glorified in the way I die. You know, you got to die anyway. You might as well die glorifying the Lord. All right. Back to the original question. How do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? Well, do you ever talk to people about Jesus? Do you care about liberty for the captives? Do you care about the blindness of our age? Does God ever use you to set people free? Do you proclaim the grace of God to others? Those are some of the evidences. And, you know, let's say that that's not very strong in your life, and you'd like that to be, but it isn't. Well, what do you do? Well, Jesus said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if you're weak in those areas, just say, okay, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me do these things that will bring honor and glory to you. So what I want to do, let's close the sermon time now by singing an old hymn. If you know it, sing it out loud with me. And if you don't know it, just listen to it and pray this as we sing it. Here we go. Here's the hymn. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God,
fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Happy Pentecost, everybody. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, what exactly is the Holy Spirit?
Or a better way to put it, who exactly?
Who?
Because the Holy Spirit is not a what or an it. The Holy Spirit is a he, mm-hmm. He's a who, he's a person. We talk about the three, one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All three are persons in the sense that they're not just a blob. They're not persons in the sense that they're like we are and have three bodies up there in heaven. There's only one God. But in God are three persons, and the Holy Spirit is a he, just as personal as the Father and the Son is in our lives.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the Holy Ghost?
I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. The ghost is simply the King James word for spirit. Okay. So the Holy, when the King James version was written, the word spirit was ghost. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the Holy Ghost, same thing as the Holy Spirit. You can say either.
Either one.
I think it's a little clearer. People get spooked. It's not a, the Holy Spirit is not a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit is what I usually name.
Is the term Holy Ghost used in the Bible at all?
Well, it is in the King James version.
It is in the King James.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
Can you be a Christian without the Holy Spirit?
You know, there's some churches that teach erroneously that you can receive Christ and be saved and be a Christian, but then later you get the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to this. This is from Romans chapter 8, verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Hear this. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him.
Hmm.
So every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. You can't believe in Christ on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the fact that you have a faith in Christ shows that you have the Holy Spirit because you can't do that on your own.
Mm-hmm. Read that verse today.
Yeah.
Some churches teach you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit. Is this true?
No. Now, on their side a little bit, in the book of Acts, when people get filled with the Holy Spirit, it often happens they speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Does it always happen? And does the Bible say you have to speak in tongues to be saved? No, that's a cult teaching. Or that you have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit? No. But it can be a sign that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But to say that it's the sign, or if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit, the Bible never teaches that. In fact, Paul the Apostle, who spoke in tongues more than anybody, he says himself, not all speak in tongues, do they? Because different people have different gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. What is exactly speaking in tongues?
Well, if on Pentecost that we're celebrating today, the apostles go out into the street. Jews were from all corners of the Roman Empire who spoke in different tongues, different languages. They came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Festival of the Booths, I believe. So you got Jews from all over speaking. And the apostles actually went out and spoke Greek, Ethiopian, you know, whatever. And they were able to communicate to these people supernaturally what God had done in Christ. So, but then there is the private speaking in tongues that people do that, you know, Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. And some people think Paul is saying, look, there are human languages, but you can also get a tongue that's an angelic language. And I don't know. But speaking in tongues often is when you alone with the Lord, if you have this gift, you say things to the Lord in prayer that you're not quite sure what you're saying, but the Lord does. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
There are like 18 gifts of the Holy Spirit. I won't be able to remember all of them, but healing, prophesying, tongues, interpretation of tongues, distinguishing of spirit, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, hospitality, and I'm missing a bunch of them. But every Christian has one gift of the Holy Spirit. And your job is to find out what that is and use that gift to serve the Lord. Like Mona,
There are people that, they're one of the gifts is called administrations. There are people that are really good at running things. Maybe, and it doesn't say that all the gifts are listed. You might have a gift if with technical media. Well, that wouldn't have been in the New Testament because they didn't have that. But some people are really gifted in media, and I'm glad we got them volunteering for our ministry. We wouldn't be on the air. Or like I'm very bad at finances. You don't put me in the finances of this ministry, but we got men and women who are very gifted in finances that are volunteering to do our finances. So every Christian has a gift of the Spirit. You pray, Lord, where am I good? And that's where you serve the Lord. You don't want to serve. I mean, I know a pastor. He's a wonderful pastor, but he's a terrible preacher. So he should minister by doing a lot of pastoral visits and counseling. But don't make somebody who's not a preacher preach, or don't make somebody who's not good at finances do your finances. Yeah, we've all got different gifts.
Can you have several gifts?
Yes, you can. Okay. Never says you can have just one, but every Christian. Now it says, and now the Holy Spirit has appointed to each one individually as he wills. So he does give to each one a gift of the Spirit.
All right.
Read 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14 and see what they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
How can I distinguish what are my own thoughts and what is the Holy Spirit?
Now, that's hard. I mean, let's say you have a real, I'm supposed to visit my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, is that me or is that the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just don't know. And so you pray for wisdom. James 1 says, if you lack wisdom, pray in faith. And so then you bounce it off of others. Say, do you think this is from the Lord or not? Because the Bible says, in an abundance of counselors, there's victory. So pray about it. Get some counseling in the sense of talking to other Christians about it. But sometimes it's awfully difficult to know what's what. Yeah.
Okay. I know a woman who said the Holy Spirit led her to be a pastor. Is this true?
I know a woman who told me her story, and God told me to be a preacher. And I said, I tried to be polite and humble, but I said, no, he didn't. Because 1 Timothy chapter 2 says women are not to preach over adult men. Well, but who are you to say the Holy Spirit? Well, because the Holy Spirit who inspired the Bible never contradicts the Bible. So if you have a vision or a thought that's you think is from the Lord, but it contradicts Scripture, that's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit doesn't contradict what he's already revealed. So there you go.
There we go. Well, we've only got about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Do you have an update?
Just everybody, we're on more stations than we've ever been on because of your faithful prayers and people giving. And so if the Lord nudges you to support our ministry, go to that pastorstudy.org and people give that way, or they support us other ways. And just thank you for your prayers and your support, because I love the fact that we're reaching lots of people.
Amen.
Yep.
Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.